everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing okay. It's been a whirlwind couple of weeks. Not in F1, but, you know, for me personally.
Yeah.
So, at least it's something to keep me excited and interacted.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Busyness is good. It is a good good week for baseball fans too around the world, because for the first time ever the Mariners might go to the World Series.
I'm being forced to learn about baseball against my will by all social media on all sides at this point.
Knocking on the wood that is off screen for you guys. I'm wearing my Mariners hat. Everything is going good so far. It's game 7 of the ALCS currently. Mariners are in the lead 3-1. The game will probably be over by the while we are recording this podcast. So
you'll see his mood change.
Either I'm going to be very happy at the end of the podcast, or I'm going to be in shambles.
We'll just cut it early, and it'll cut back to just me.
Yeah, I'll be somewhere.
You'll just one big
yes. Anyway, this is not a baseball podcast. There are plenty of those, and we do not need to add to that mix. So
boring, IMO, but to each his own.
That's fair. It is very boring as a baseball fan.
It's like soccer.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a racing podcast, so let's move into some racing. First off, we've got some paddock news to go through. COTA, United States Grand Prix, has been extended until 2034, so we're going to get that beauty of a track for the next 10 years.
If there's one other track in the U.S. that you could make the USGP, even if it's not grade one certified, what would it be?
Road America.
I was gonna say, and why would it be Road America?
Why would it be Road America?
That or Long Beach. If the cars were small.
Yeah,
the I cars guess are too big car, for Long Beach. But whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's Laguna Seca, but that track is too small for F1 cars.
Yeah. Road America is a good one.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, probably Road America.
I feel like F1 doesn't really get to experience Midwestern culture.
Yeah, Watkins Glen is another one, but that's another one that'd be tough to pass on. But
yeah,
Road America, I feel like it's the only permanent track in the U.S. that could, like, actually...
Mid-Ohio?
No. It's too narrow.
Oh, it is too narrow.
I can't think of, like, there's not a lot of really wide racetracks in the U.S.
Yeah.
So...
And even like the Indy road courses,
yeah,
pretty narrow.
Yeah.
Maybe all right, for 2026 when the cars are a little smaller.
Maybe they're just a little smaller though. It's not crazy, yeah. But Mohamed Ben Suleim is now running unopposed for FIA presidency due to some political garbage, some rules that they decided they didn't want to disclose to his opponents until now.
Have to get the approval of
it's like 6 different countries.
They have to get I thought from what I was hearing, it was the approval of several different former vice presidents.
It's something like that. It has something to do with FIA. Vice presidents and getting approvals people on board. And it's like you have to get enough signatures to get considered and to even be able to run. No one was able to do so. So MBS is, for the foreseeable future, going to be running the FIA.
When are you announcing your run for FIA president, Nathan?
When Carlos Sainz Sr. backs me. Anyway, so MBS will probably be running the show for a good long time, because I don't see anybody else getting the support like that. So that's unfortunate for all of us F1 fans. I don't think he can fine random fans for saying bad things about the FIA. We'll see.
I mean, how many viewers do we have? What if they're all former FIA vice presidents?
They're all FIA officials.
It's all the FIA vice presidents. And exactly. They just say, hey, we like that guy.
Yeah, maybe. I'm willing to do it. In other news, George Russell has signed on to a 2-year deal with Mercedes. Finally.
With all the hemming and hawing, I would have thought that he would have gotten a bit more of a multi-year deal than 2 years.
Yeah, well, he technically got a multi-year deal.
The multi-year deal.
And Lando Norris has received repercussions or whatever they called it earlier in the week for his incident with Oscar Piastri in Singapore internally at McLaren. Not sure what that means.
They use the word repercussions specifically over and over again.
Yeah, they both used that word, so they were clearly media trained to use that mm-hmm. word.
They're repercussions.
You see, the repercussions are like consequences or something. Anyway.
Who knows what they are? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't.
Probably some sort of slap on the wrist. But let's move on to the United States Grand Prix and sprint qualifying. It was a sprint race. We'll go through the top 10 in qualifying. Max Verstappen was on pole position, followed by Norris and Piastri. Then 4th and 5th were Hülkenberg and Russell. 6th through 10 were Alonso, Sainz, Hamilton, Albon, and Leclerc. Moving into the sprint, I did not write down any highlights.
Did you watch the sprint race?
I did.
Oh, okay. I watched
both races.
I forgot about it.
There was a big incident in turn 1. Nico Hülkenberg kind of... There was some drama down the inside of turn 1 that caused Oscar Piastri to spin out into Lando Norris, causing both McLarens to DNF. Very, very unfortunate things. That was pretty much the whole race. Max just kind of scampered off into the distance. So moving into the results, in first place was Max Verstappen, followed by George Russell and Carlos Sainz. 4th and 5th were Hamilton and Leclerc. 6th through 8th, running off the points finishers, were Albon, Tsunoda, and Antonelli.
Crazy work for the Williams that they did not replicate during the race.
Yep, P3.
They used up all their good vibes for the sprint.
Yeah, great choice there.
They're like, wait, where did all our points go?
Yes. Qualifying for the race, Max Verstappen once again on pole position, followed by Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc. 4th and 5th were Russell and Hamilton. 6th through 10 were Piastri, Antonelli, Behrman, Sainz, and Alonso. Moving into the race, Verstappen maintained his lead on the start. Leclerc was able to get past Lando Norris, also into turn 1, as Lando got caught behind Verstappen. Then it was a race between Norris and Leclerc for the vast majority of the race. It was Lando catching Charles Leclerc. Did pass him earlier on in the race, then the pit stops happened, and Leclerc ended up back in front, and Lando had to chase him down and pass him again towards the end of the race. We had some interesting battles. We had a couple of Ferrari fights throughout the course of the weekend. We had people torpedoing across grass, trying to take people out to the best of their ability.
Thank you, Oliver Behrman, once yes. again, my goat.
So many track limits warnings, but no penalties, which was kind of crazy. Anyway, moving into the results of the race, Max Verstappen won, followed by Norris and Leclerc on the podium. Hamilton and Piastri were 4th and 5th. 6th through 10 were Russell, Tsunoda, Hülkenberg, Behrman, and Alonso. All right, so Max Verstappen is making a comeback in the championship, only 40 points off the lead after making up 60 points worth of ground over the last 5 races.
We were fairly skeptical about this comeback.
I was
even as late as last week.
As late as last week, I think at the summer break, I officially put my foot down that Max was out of the championship. I think it was after Hungary when he like barely finished in the points or something.
Yeah.
Over a minute off the lead. And we thought, yep, McLaren's wrapped this up, which they did wrap up the constructors. But.
Oh, man.
boy, oh, boy, is the drivers starting to heat up again. Lando Norris is only 14 points off of the lead. And Max Verstappen, like we said, is 40 points off the lead. So a couple more wins for Verstappen, and we've got a tight, tight race. If we get any McLaren DNF, that is going to be absolutely horrific for their championship odds.
And he's had a really good track record during sprints. So how many more sprints do we have?
I think one.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not as exciting as I thought.
It's either Brazil or Brazil and Qatar. It's either one or two. But yeah, Max Verstappen, he's doing great right now. I think the Red Bull is getting better because I think this is the second week in a row Yuki scored points.
Just in time, too.
Right. Or at least he's done better. So, Red Bull seems to be getting better. Max is winning races consistently now. I think it's going to be very close. I think if Max wins every single one of the next 5 races, and then Piastri finishes second, Piastri still barely finishes ahead of Max by like 4 points. So I think the odds are more likely that Verstappen wins the next five races and Piastri does not finish second in all of them.
I was going to say, what are the chances of that?
So I'm starting to think it's probably a 1 in 3 chance that either Piastri, Norris, or Verstappen wins the championship at this point.
You're saying odds are even between the three of them?
I think so.
That's crazy.
Honestly, I don't think there's... I think it's... Oh, goodness. Toronto just hit a home run and took the lead.
What? I thought... Are there two games going on right now?
Nope.
Wait, Toronto... Oh, Toronto is the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Toronto is the Blue Jays.
I see. How many points is a home run worth?
It depends on how many people are on base.
How many people were on base?
There were two other people on base, and then the guy batting hit a home run, so three people total.
Okay, so the Mariners are not winning right now?
Not anymore, no.
Okay.
There's a chance. We still got the 8th and the 9th inning, but that's real sad. Anyway, back to Formula One.
That's real sad.
Real sad. Speaking of real sad, McLaren. No. I don't think they're the fastest team anymore. I mean, it's hard to say. They might have the fastest car still, but it's very close.
Yeah, I think they still have the fastest car.
I think it's a lot closer than it was. I don't think they've done so great in terms of upgrades in the second half of the year like they usually do.
I feel like the Ferraris have actually gotten faster.
Ferraris have been getting better. Mercedes is still there.
Kind of stagnated.
And then Max is the fastest again, it seems.
Max's Red Bull has gotten faster.
Yes, absolutely. Alpine has been an absolute disaster all season. They just can't get it together.
Did you just bring that up as a reminder?
Sort of. Also, the team order situation was kind of funny in this race. Colapinto was told to hold position and not pass Gasly. And he said, but Gasly's so slow. And then he passed Gasly. And then Bortoleto behind them passed Gasly. And then the team came out and reprimanded Colapinto for not following team orders, even though if he did... Bortoleto would have finished ahead of both of them. So Colapinto was right, but was punished by his team, which you just love to see the leadership at Alpine going off.
Incredible. Fighting for that 17th spot.
Yes, absolutely. And then, yeah, Ferrari has been doing better. Championship standings, like we said, Oscar Piastri is at 346, Lando Norris at 332, and Max Verstappen at 306. Charles Leclerc, as of this week, is officially mathematically out of the championship hunt.
Oh no.
I think George Russell will be pretty soon, either after one or two more races. McLaren, of course, are the winners of the constructors. Moving into the pit stop championship, in first place this week we have Liam Lawson with Racing Bulls with a time of 2.18 seconds, followed by Russell, Leclerc, Piastri, Hadjar, Hulkenberg, Albon, Colapinto, Hamilton, and Verstappen in the points. Standings of that have not changed at all, except Ferrari, as of this week, has officially won the pit stop championship, the Constructors Championship. So,
wow.
Great job, Ferrari. Actually doing great with your pit stops this year. Overtake of the week, I gave this to Carlos Sainz for his overtake on Ollie Bearman on lap 2 of the race. Great dive down the inside of turn 15-ish. One of the turns. It was one of the
turns.
There's
a lot of turns.
Yeah, and then about 4 laps later, he DNF'd. So, ended up not really mattering much. But it was a great overtake when it happened. All right, let's talk about our predictions for the upcoming race. Let's talk about United States first. Top 5, to remind everybody, was Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Hamilton, and Piastri. What did you have, Ben?
I only got Verstappen this time. I did predict Verstappen win, so that's pretty cool. But Piastri fell off pretty hard. Then I had Norris, Russell, and Hamilton, which... Actually, Hamilton didn't do terribly. Wait, did he do terribly?
No. I think he finished 6th.
I'm losing it. I can't even remember what happened yesterday.
No, 4th. He finished 4th.
Yeah. Good job, Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, yes. I'm losing it. I can't even remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah, right.
It's all the paint fumes, I think.
Paint fumes.
Yeah. So, I got Verstappen. Bortoleto was my dark horse. kind of a bummer there, but at least he passed Gasly.
Yeah, unfortunate. he did pass Gasly, yes. I had Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Russell, and Leclerc with Albon as my dark horse. I got Lando Norris in second place, and that's about it. Fastest lap went to Kimi Antonelli. What did you say?
I had Piastri.
I had Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Leclerc. What did you say?
I had Verstappen.
And I had Piastri.
I think that's pretty well deserved by Leclerc.
Yeah, I think so too. He had a good race for sure. All right, moving on to the Mexico City Grand Prix. Give me your top five, Ben.
I have Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Leclerc, and Hamilton with Behrman as my dark horse.
And I've got Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, Piastri, and Hamilton with Tsunoda as my dark horse.
Tsunoda is your dark horse?
Tsunoda is my dark horse.
Do you
horse.
Think Tsunoda's good on podium?
No, I didn't say that. I think top five, though, maybe.
That's fair.
Possibly top five. All right. Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
Norris.
And I've got Verstappen and driver of the day.
I don't know why I put Russell, but Russell.
Okay, I have Bortoleto. Don't ask me why.
You don't even have Bortolo as your dark horse. You don't have him in your top five.
Nope.
Are you just trying to get one more?
P6.
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 Honestly, P6 Bortoleto would go so hard.
Yep. All right, that runs off our predictions for this week. Now we've got Ben's words of wisdom, which we've got maybe a couple things we could, a couple ways we could go with this.
My words of wisdom. Fly to Idaho and buy a truck.
All right. Some actual words of wisdom, because that's going to transition right into Ben's Craigslist pick of the week. I guess my words of wisdom for this week, go to the eye doctor if you haven't gone in a while.
Oh.
Go see an optometrist. It's a good idea to occasionally see an optometrist. Every year you're supposed to. I haven't gone in 12 years, and turns out I need glasses.
You haven't been to the eye doctor in 12 years.
Hey, it's not something I think about on the daily or on the decadely, I guess.
But you look all the time.
I do look all the time. And it took getting difficult for me to look all the time for me to go to the eye doctor.
I admire your resilience.
Thank you. So, optometrist. I'm going to get glasses. They're on the way. I'm just waiting for them to show up.
Do you know what your prescription is?
It's super, super low.
Super low, but it's just enough to...
Just enough, because I have an astigmatism in my left eye.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, trying to correct for that. I think it's minus 0.75 in my left eye, and it's plus 0.25 in my right eye.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's pretty, pretty weak. So I can see perfectly fine without glasses, except for when I've been looking at a screen for 8 hours, and then it gets kind of, yeah.
Huh, who would have thought? I even have, like, blue light filtering on my normal glasses.
Yeah, I got the
blue. Contacts, but if I'm looking at a screen all day,
yeah,
it makes a big difference to wear glasses.
I got the blue light filters on mine as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
that's anyway. Great wisdom. Yeah.
Good
go
wisdom.
See the eye doctor. They have eye doctors in Costco. What's your excuse?
Some Costco's, not all of them. Okay. Some of them, they just have the glasses.
Yeah.
They don't have the actual optometrist.
Well,
but
my optometrist is at Costco.
There you go.
Which is always funny to bring up, but it's a good optometrist, actually.
Nice.
It's very nice.
Happy for you. My insurance didn't cover the Costco one, so I had to go somewhere else. Anyway, vision insurance. That's your words of wisdom.
Also great. HSA,
also great.
Vision
super
insurance.
Cheap.
Pretty nice.
Super cheap.
Yeah, it's like $3 a month for me or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And you get like a free pair of glasses every other year.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. All right, Ben.
Yes.
Show me your Craigslist.
Show
pick
me the money.
Of the week.
This week we've got a scorcher. So, my personal weakness, backstory. When I was in college, terrible financial decision. I spent $5,000 on a 74 Dodge W200 on 2.5-ton axles. The engine ran okay, but a throwout bearing needed help. So, of course, I drove all the way from the Dalles to Klamath Falls. I've already told the story, but just to catch y'all up. So I spent a whole bunch of money to get like a brand new custom clutch because it was an absolute Frankenstein clutch or Frankenstein vehicle. And then ended up having to sell it because the rear main seal went, and I do not have an engine hoist that is tall enough nor strong enough to lift a 440 Magnum out of a troop carrier. But my weakness is 74 Dodge four-wheel drive trucks because I just love how they look, like that thin grille profile along the front. The side profile is really cool. It's just everything about them is awesome. I found one in Idaho, and it is bright blue with a decal stripe on the side, which is very cool. It's very 70s. It's a 4x4. It's got hookups for a snowplow with the hydraulics, which is really cool. Granny gear, Dana 60 front axle, so like better than whatever your Jeep Wrangler has. Heavy duty springs, and it runs and drives. And it would be so cool. Like, imagine you and me, we could fly to Boise, Idaho. We could buy a $4,000 truck.
Imagine flying and then to
drive Boise, it, Idaho. Drive it across the Oregon Desert without breaking down, surely.
Surely. Because the Oregon Desert doesn't get hot.
Look, three of the tires match. And it's got a spare that doesn't match. It matches the front left one.
Beautiful, Ben.
It's got a 318, love reliable.
All that rust right there.
It's all surface rust.
Yeah.
Surely.
Even the one on the engine mount, all the rust on the engine mounts, all surface rust.
Nah, that's surface rust.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Look, the floor pan isn't... That's the indicator. Look at that floor pan. That is in perfect shape.
Yep.
It's in great... There's no holes. You can't see gravel through that.
There are no holes.
It's in a great shape floor pan, and that usually goes first. It's got two new fenders. If you're worried about fender rust...
Don't be.
There you go. Yeah. It's got two spare front fenders already. What else does it have? The bed, not even rust. That's all surface rust right there. It's all surface rust. It's very cool.
That actually is surface rust. Surface rust, yes.
It just looks so sick.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But yeah, they're kind of my weakness. So there's nothing that super excited about or exciting about them except for the decal says Snow Fighter on the back, which I just now noticed. Right there. The Snow Fighter. Spelled SNO-FITER. It still has the badge. Look, the custom badge.
It's only still half there. On.
It's hanging off, but it's still half on.
Yep.
Not half off, crucially. The tailgate has already fallen off, so there's no need to run it into a tree to take it off yourself.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's four-wheel drive. 4-speed on the floor. It's just really cool. I think it would be really neat.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool truck, Ben. Good stuff.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, that will actually wrap up our episode pretty early.
To check the time.
It's about 20 minutes or something.
This could be a YouTube short.
We could do this whole episode in 20 YouTube shorts, yes. But thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Refing. If you liked it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you want to see more. If you want to see updated standings for F1, check out our website at refing.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Mexican Grand Prix. The Mariners are currently down 4-3. It's the ninth inning. We got one shot.
Nathan's losing it right now.
I might have to go hide in a hole somewhere tonight. But I'll have some libation alongside me. So
no matter who wins. Yeah.
I don't know.
Does the libation change based on the results?
No.
It's the same?
It's the same.
It's not like Seagram's if they lose, but if they win, you get to drink the Blantons or something.
I'm not rich enough for Blantons. I got a knee surgery coming up.
Ooh. You can always borrow some of mine.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Well. Until next week, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.